You're listening to the Outstanding Life Podcast with your host, Johnny D, the Motivational Cowboy. As a motivational speaker, Johnny D impacts audiences around the world with his message of living the outstanding life. He's a best-selling author, MC, and two-time Grammy-considered artist. This podcast is a place where Johnny D can introduce you to his outstanding friends and share funny, interesting, and heart-provoking stories. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up. Here comes your host, Johnny D.
Hey, everybody, I'm Johnny D, the Motivational Cowboy. Welcome to another exciting episode of The Outstanding Life. I want to say a big hello to all my friends tuning in on Dirt Road Radio, KYDT 103.1 FM and KBFS 1450 AM. You know, I'm often asked, Johnny D, when you talk to your friends, what do you guys talk about? So what I did today was I brought a couple of my buddies in today. I got Bill Melbach. You've heard him before. Bill, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Joe Downing, what's going on, my friend?
Nothing much. Glad to be here, Johnny.
Guys, I talk to you guys often, and how many times have we've had a conversation, and I said, guys, I wish I was recording this.
Yeah, that does happen.
Time. It happens all the time. So I said, you know, guys, why don't you come over, and we're going to talk, and I figured today we're just going to put a microphone in your guys' hand.
Perfect.
And he quite literally did put it in our hands.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a way. I don't know what happened.
So I thought it would just be a kind of a fun show to just go and banter back and forth and kind of talk about the things that we talk about on the phone, just as friends, as guys. And this show is called Friends Unplugged. Instead, I just thought about it, but we're actually plugged in.
We're actually plugged in, yes.
So guys, let me kick this thing off. If you could have dinner with anyone tonight, who would it be?
All right. So I'll go first, I guess, Bill, if you don't mind.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm on a kick right now.
Uh-oh.
So this is going back.
Joe literally took it. Yeah. Buckle up.
Yeah.
And he's buckled up.
So, I don't know, some months ago, somebody was talking about the best way to learn things is to really dig into a subject deep. And I was thinking, I always read books and I listen to podcasts and I go from this subject to that subject and I never go in deep. So one of my resolutions for this new year was to go deep on a philosopher, and I picked Friedrich Nietzsche. I can never pronounce it.
Nietzsche?
I should say Nietzsche, yep. And so I would want to have dinner with him.
Or is this common folks say Nietzsche?
Nietzsche, yeah. So I don't know exactly what I'd ask him. There's so many things I could, but it would only be like one question.
Really? You would only ask him one question?
Yeah, because he was a writer that just went deep. It was often said nobody thought harder than Nietzsche. So I think that would be a lot of fun.
Bill, now I said any person, just because I kind of changed this up a little bit today.
Yeah, you said historical.
I did, but that's why I changed it up, because I thought to myself, you know, because different times of the day, different times of the week, you feel different about something. So my answer is a little bit different, but I want to ask you, I changed it up for a reason. Who would you have dinner with?
Well, now that you changed it up, I went from Abraham Lincoln to Ashley Judd.
Oh. What? <That's amazing. laughs>
Well, it's just anybody.
And what the heck would you talk to her about? Would you ask her on a date or what? One question, you want to go out with me?
The Gettysburg Address.
That's right. I'd ask her how she felt about the Gettysburg Address.
And I'm just curious. I mean, if it was Abraham Lincoln, what would you ask him?
Actually, I'd kind of ask him just like, how do you get through this whole, you know, like divide thing?
Divide thing.
You know, yeah. How did you come up with the, way to get around this?
That's awesome. Guys, I'm impressed with your answers.
what were you expecting?
Exactly what I got.
Okay.
But mine is super simple.
What is it?
I would want to have dinner with my dad.
Okay.
You know,
you went deep on this. Okay,
I think you guys went sentimental.
Deep.
Here's the thing. It was like how people say, you know, I wish I could go back and just have one more conversation or one more question or one more this or one more that. And there is not like one thing. When I thought about this question today, I was like, there's not one thing I'd ask them or want to talk about. I just want to hang out with them again.
Yeah, Yeah, I gotcha.
You know,
so I'm not trying to get anything out of it. But no, time.
Except for time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Field of Dreams, Jen. Let's have a catch.
Well, I like that though. I'm just curious. Who would be your second guest? I'm just curious now. Like, Bill, would there be anybody else?
Now that you brought that into it, I mean, I'd want to see my daughter, but I wouldn't want to come back. I mean, I would just stay.
What's the most adventurous thing you've ever done in your life?
Well, for me, I think without question, it would have to be hiking across the Grand Canyon in a day.
Yeah, you did that within 24 hours, right?
Oh, yeah, with 13, actually.
And what they called that something.
The rim to rim.
Rim to rim, yeah.
The rim to rim hike.
Okay.
And it was great and terrible.
And you hiked it.
Yep.
You didn't get on a mule and do it.
Did not get on a mule. No, nope, had to get it.
You didn't helicopter it?
Nope, did not. No, there's some. A lot of people make their way out of there via helicopter unplanned. I guess it's expensive. That we were not doing that. I mean, it says right at the top, going down is optional. Coming out is mandatory. You have to get out, right?
That reminded me last year, we went to the Bear Dunes.
Yep.
Up in Michigan. And you get up there and you look at Lake Michigan, you're like, oh, you're hot. Mm-hmm. You're nasty. And you look down at the water, you're like, oh, wow. All you got to do is kind of fall down.
Yeah.
But there's signs everywhere that says it could cost you up to $3,000 to get from the bottom back to the top.
For them to pull you back.
Yeah.
Out. Yeah. Yeah.
So Joe, what was that like for you? I mean, did you guys like leave in the morning and get back that night?
No. So what happened is our families were on the South Rim. We took a day to drive to the North Rim. This was during COVID. So we had to drive around 5.5 hours. It's normally like a 2-hour drive, but because Indian reservations wouldn't allow people on them because of COVID, it was a super long drive. And then we stayed at the North Rim in a little, just basically a cabin.
Airbnb overnight. Type thing?
Yeah, it was a little cabin. I wouldn't even call it an Airbnb. And the guy that ran the cabins gave us a ride to the trailhead at 6 in the morning or something, 5 in the morning, whatever the case was. And off we went and marched across the canyon. And our ladies met us at the South Rim that night, 13 hours later.
Your wife didn't do it? Therese didn't do it with you?
No.
Who'd you do it with?
My son, Nate, and my nephew, Rob.
Would you ever do it again?
I would definitely do it again. Yes.
Did you learn anything from that experience?
Yeah. I mean, one, invest in hiking boots. good hiking boots, right. Number one. And two, everybody tells you to try to stay out of the sun between 11 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. because it's hot. And it was hot.
Really?
We started off, it was 34 degrees. By the time we hit the bottom of the canyon, it was 104.
Wow.
It was just miserable in that heat.
So you definitely had to dress in layers then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it was great. Just a great experience to have finished it and the sense of accomplishment and the camaraderie. It was a lot of fun.
That's the difference between us, Joe.
Yeah. What's that?
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Love hearing your story. I would have been the guy on the helicopter. Yeah. I would have got there in 15 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bill, how about you?
I've got a couple of them. That one makes me
really.
That makes me think of another one.
I'm shocked, Bill. You just said you have a couple of these.
Oh, absolutely. I got lots of these. But no, he just made me think of one. Went to the top of Masada in Israel, and it's
did.
Yeah, it's a mountain, and they give you an option, not a helicopter, but they give you an option where you can ride this little tram. It's so rickety. It's like, this thing's going to fall apart. So I took the walking route. This is when I was younger. So, but the little steps that they have, I'm thinking as a tourist, I'm an American in Israel thinking, wow, it's tourist, right? So they have these steps along the side, literally just like carved into the mountain. So I'm literally like, you got like maybe less than a foot of foothold. And if you fall, you're gone.
Now, is there a lot of people behind you too?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody was.
So you're gonna take them all out?
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I've been like bowling. Like, yeah, but as a tourist, I never assumed like, well, they would just let you die,
right?
Right. So my other one was we were in Key West, and we were snorkeling, And so I was down and I thought I saw this thing at the bottom. So I started like grabbing at it. And it was actually a fin of a sand shark. Luckily, he was a lazy sand shark. But then later on, I had this fun game. There was these silver fish that were swimming all over. So I kept trying to grab their tails. And then by the time I got back to the boat, I said, "Hey, what are those silver fish down there?" And said, "Oh, you mean the barracuda?"
Wow.
Those can't hurt you, can they?
So I came back. I was happy to have my hands and, you know, all my fingers and everything. So.
Well, I'm just curious. Would you go ahead and, like, dive with the sharks? You know how they always have Shark Week on Discovery? I know, Bill, you accidentally dove with the sharks.
I accidentally dove with the sharks, yes.
But would you guys do it?
No.
Me neither.
Wait a second.
Now, dolphins, yes. I would do dolphins in a heartbeat.
Okay, I said sharks. I said sharks, Bill. Yeah, Joe, you wouldn't do
it? No, because...
Of all people, I thought for sure you'd say
I like
yes.
Adventure, but I like adventure in...
that you can control?
Something I'm reasonably in control of and strong at, and I don't swim well, and you're totally out of control in that situation. Yeah. So it just doesn't interest me.
See, I saw Jaws when I was a kid. We lived in an apartment in Trenton. I was literally afraid, Johnny, to go in the pool. I would be sitting there and all of a sudden on the edge and I'd be the only one in the pool and I'd hear dun 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 dun, dun, dun. Like, it's a pool. And I was still afraid.
Bill, I'm just curious though. Joe keeps telling me no, but Joe, what if I threw $5,000 at you and said, "Hey, listen, would you do it for $5,000?
No.
Okay.
Not.
What if I threw $10,000 at you?
No.
What if I said, "Joe, I got a sponsor and they're going to give you $100,000. We're going to put it on TV."
Oh, I could definitely do it for that.
Yeah. Oh, everybody has a price.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
you would do it.
Yeah, I would do it.
There's just a price.
I just don't think it would be all that much fun. And to me, $10,000 wouldn't do it. $100,000 would do it.
Yeah. I am way too large to be around sharks at all. Okay. I am not the appetizer. I am the main course.
Hey, guys, if you could only listen to one type of music for the rest of your life, what would it be? And Bill, I'm going to start with you.
This one is fairly simple. It's more about...
Can I guess?
It's more about the time period. And yeah, sure, go ahead.
Disney, Joe?
Disney movie?
No, disco?
Disco.
Disco.
That would be...
Could you imagine him all dressed up in bell bottoms?
With his shirt unbuttoned.
I saw Saturday Night Live in the theater, okay? So that's how old
you are. Old.
I am old, yes. Actually, no, for the time period... I never would have set out to like this music, but it would be 90s music. I love alternative music, Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and Stone Temple Pilots and all.
I could so see that. Do you have a favorite?
Headbang.
Yeah.
My only conflict would be Dave Grohl, because you got Nirvana, but I love him in Foo Fighters, so that'd be my only conflict. But
Monkey Wrench, one of the greatest songs of all time.
Exactly.
And I have no idea what you guys are talking about. I've heard the music and stuff, but I mean, Bill, that I guess 90s headbanging is totally different than what our kids were listening to.
It was more of the grunge.
Yeah, that was grunge back then. Yeah,
it was grunge. Yeah.
How about you, Joe?
You know, so first of all,
now be careful when you answer this.
That this would be punishment to me. Because variety is the spice of life. I mean, you should see my Pandora and Spotify lists. I mean, there's hundreds of stations I have on there. I go from one thing to the next. I'll be listening to Mozart 1 minute, and the next thing you know, I'll have German metal on. I mean, I don't know how I would pick one thing. I guess if I was forced to pick.
Yeah, you don't have a choice.
I would say classic rock, because that's like a huge... You know, there's a big time span there. You could say classic rock is going back to, you know, Buddy Holly, all the way up to and including grunge, right?
That's true.
It depends on who's asking, right? If it's an 18-year-old kid, classic rock definitely would include Stone Temple Pilots, right?
Correct.
To us, that's very contemporary.
Correct, yeah.
There's Joe breaking the rules already.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Finding that gray space.
We love living in the gray area.
And guys, well, you guys probably already know what mine's going to be.
No. Let me guess. It's going to have country in it?
Yes.
Maybe
that's
country?
It.
Yeah.
That's it.
Merle Haggard?
I mean, in all country, new country, old country, spoken word country. Because again, Joe, I mean, if you're going to break the rules, then I mean, country, I mean, what's her name just has a brand new single out.
Oh, yeah. Beyonce.
Beyonce. So listen, I mean, you know, so if she's country, now I can listen to her music.
Yeah. Yep.
So
well, country did break the rules for me. I did totally go off of, at the time, I went off of the grunge for Garth. And then I was one of his friends in Low Places. So.
Bill, that's funny. That's funny. You guys, if you guys could have any job in the world, regardless of salary, qualifications, what would it be and why?
Honestly, I wouldn't move from what I'm doing today. Love what I'm doing today. I got it where I want it at the moment. Always subject to change. But right now, I wouldn't trade my job for anyone in the world.
And I knew that about you just because you have to go back and listen to Joe's story. I mean, it's amazing because you gave up literally everything. And
I gained a lot.
But you gained a lot, right? Because you gave up the money, kind of like the fame stuff. And you're a registered nurse now, and you love it every single day.
Love my job. Don't miss my stuff.
And you know what? Here's the thing. For me, I wrote down on my list here, I just said I wouldn't change it. My job.
Good for you. I knew you wouldn't.
I'm thinking.
So I guess it's all on you, Bill.
Yeah, Bill. If I'm not going to change, and Joe's not going to change.
What would you do?
Well, my whole life, I actually really just wanted to be Johnny. I mean, honestly.
I mean, more than the eyes.
Yeah, that might. You know what? No, I'd probably just fall back on the eyes.
It just got hot in here.
I'd go with that whole Paul Newman eye thing.
So, Bill, if money was no object, what would you do?
You know what? I mean, I'm kind of like you guys. I'd stick with what I'm doing right this minute, only because I fell into it. I fell into the artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
All I would probably do is get myself like, you know, six more computers and, you know, really nicer type of setup. But other than that, I mean, I find myself oddly drawn into it. Just, you know, being older, you know, to be able to learn new things. We'll go from having like a dictionary or Encyclopedia Britannica or something.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
You can literally find out anything. I think that's one thing I wish I could communicate with people, that just they're wasting so much time on just like pictures and things on there. It's just so much fun.
Yes.
Literally anything you talk about, I can just go on there and it just like blows my mind.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Literally, I don't know if it's a question on there about dreams, but I had a dream like when I was like, 30 years ago. And I literally, it's like this book came to me. So I wrote down all these notes, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I just sat there for 30 years. Later on, now I'm into AI, and all of a sudden I just like popped this idea out one night and started working. It starts spitting it out like it was meant to be that night. And it's like, I couldn't even believe it. It's like a bridge, for like a 30-year bridge. So, yeah, so I'm kind of like you guys. I like what I'm doing and just wished I'd wished it would have come along a lot sooner.
So you're an AI guy. Don't blow up the world, okay, Bill?
I'm a lot different on that whole.
Don't get him started.
AI is going to take over the world.
So, Joe, have you dabbled into AI?
Yeah, I use ChatGPT every day.
I'm just shocked of how many people don't use it these days. Like, I talk to so many people that haven't dabbled into it or don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm really shocked.
Well, I'm a big fan.
They're all using it, but they're using it to like make old pictures of them in high school, or you know, they're using like the apps.
Oh, gotcha.
And actually, you've been using it. We've all been using it for a long time. Actually, mostly what it is, it's just autocorrect on when you're texting.
Yeah,
it's all words. Mm-hmm. It's all predictive words. But it's the speed that blows my mind. How fast it comes up with things. And literally, like, fills in all these gaps. It's like, I can't even believe, like, a brain could work that fast.
Right. I guess it's just a big brain, right?
The technically, sort of. Yeah,
the big black box.
The black box, yeah.
Hey, guys.
Dude, really, don't get us started. It's a whole separate show, Johnny. It's a whole separate show.
Guys, if you could have one skill or hobby that you've always wanted to do and learn, but haven't had the time, what would it be?
So I've always had a love for boats, have like an addiction for boats. I had a ton of boats and then made a career change, so I had to get rid of the boats. But I always thought restoring a boat would be a really cool activity, which would mean a whole lot of different skills, all of which I have, but they're weak and poor. So it'd be nice to like sharpen up on them skills and, you know, restore a small boat at some point.
So would it be like a wooden boat?
I don't think so. I think it would probably be fiberglass. Okay. Wood is just, it's just too much.
I know, but they look so nice when they're done.
So beautiful. Yeah.
They are beautiful. Yeah. Joe, you're laughing over there.
What? He's got weak skills, so he's going to work on like a dugout canoe or something.
Well, yeah, believe me, it wouldn't be a high-dollar project because I would want to learn on something terribly expensive.
Bill, how about you?
Wait, what was the question?
Just a hobby or a skill that you've always wanted to do but never found the time.
This one's easy for me. It's a painting. I used to do
like
a
painting
lot of,
houses or like no, actual painting.
Well, I've done both, but I've done, I actually like portrait painting and painting people and things. But I actually, what I've always wanted to do was abstract. I wanted to like take a whole gallon of paint and just like throw it against the canvas.
Yes.
And then just start lobbing things all over. And yeah.
I have a friend that does that, and he takes like these canvases, the small ones, right? And they just put paint on it, and he takes his drill and he drills it something on the back, right? And he just goes, and it comes out and it looks amazing.
Yes. Speaking of amazing, before, just so people at home know, I'm literally in front of a table that Johnny D himself made. This is the kind of cool stuff I would actually do. So now if I combine those two things, I would take Johnny D, it'd be like an episode of American Pickers. And you can literally get like a 100-foot canvas. We'd just go find things in barns and literally just start throwing them against, you know, and create some kind of like cool collage.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. So let me tell you a little bit about this table. This table was actually my side door of my garage. So this was from the 50s. It's solid wood. And when I got all new doors, I was like, man, that thing's beautiful, but didn't know what I was going to do with it. And then when I got into like redoing furniture, I was like, man, I'm going to cut this thing in half.
He's repurposed it.
I repurposed it. Yeah. And I mean, I love it. I love it. Love the table.
Oh, it's amazing too, because you mix.
I appreciate you saying that.
The wood and the metal. I really dig it.
But guys, for me, it would be playing guitar and singing. I mean, come on.
You have the guitars.
I have the guitars. I've got plenty of guitars. And they look beautiful sitting on that wall.
They do, yeah.
And the amplifiers.
You have to dust them every once in a while.
I do. I got someone that does that.
Yeah, okay.
Every other week. And I love guitars. I could play a little bit, but how cool is it? I mean, come on, guys. Let's face it. It doesn't matter what you look like. If you can put a guitar in your hand, every chick in the world thinks that you're amazing. Yeah,
yeah. Well, it matters a little bit. I'd be like Jelly Roll playing.
You know what's funny? I allow myself one night a week to have about an hour dive into a rabbit hole on YouTube. And I was watching a video of Leslie West in Mountain doing Mississippi Queen.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
If that guy can be a rock star looking the way he did, anybody can be a rock star. I mean, he was so non-typical for a rock star. I mean,
Joe, we have to make this one of our missions. So we get Johnny to just one day take that, plug it into that, and then watch YouTube for like an hour.
Yeah.
And then just by the end of that, you'll be playing chords. And then before you know it, you'll be just strumming some.
So just
look at Bill right now.
Why do you have all these guitars? I just assumed you could play the guitar since you have amps and guitars all over the place.
I went to the Guitar Center today and I wanted to buy another guitar.
Yeah. But you don't know how to play it.
I mean, I can play, but like, not like, I mean, when I'm talking about playing, I'm talking about being on stage being that guy. Like, you know what I mean?
You can play, but not.
I can play, but not like that. Like, I would never embarrass myself and say, hey, let's plug this thing in. I'm not going to do what Bill wants me to do.
I see.
And make a YouTube video.
It would go viral.
It probably would. Have you guys ever had an embarrassing moment in public?
I had a near miss that could have been life changing.
Now, when you say near miss, does that mean what? Because this could go.
I did an embarrassing thing, but nobody witnessed it. So
you're going to tell us.
Yep. This is going like back 20 years ago ish. And a new health club opened up about a mile from the company that I was working at the time. And I got a free pass to go there. So I went there before work. It's like 6 a.m. I work out for an hour and I'm done. I'm in the locker rooms. I'm going to take a shower. And this is like super stressful time at work. My mind's on work and I'm walking to the showers, not really knowing where I'm going. And not really thinking clearly. And the next thing you know, I'm standing on the pool deck naked with my towel in my hand. there's nobody swimming, thank goodness, because it's a brand new club and no members yet. And I'm looking at the front desk. There's this big glass window looking right at the front desk. And I see there's two employees at the front desk, but they both have their back to me. And I'm like, yeah, just turn around. Go take a shower.
Oh, Lord. Bill, do you have one that actually beats that?
I don't have any that beat it per se. I got a lot of these though. I mean, it starts when I was a kid, Johnny. Let's go all the way back. So
sitting on the edge of a pool. Right. Saying,
that's right. That's right. That's not even the embarrassing one. No, we were in an assembly and.
Like school?
Yeah, school assembly, okay. Blah, blah, blah. I wasn't paying attention as usual. You know, I wasn't like, you know, a great student. And so anyway, my head's down. I start doodling, but I'm really getting into the tune. And before I know it, I'm like singing along. And all of a sudden I look up and everybody in the auditorium's looking at me. Because I'm the only one singing along.
Wow.
We weren't supposed to be singing. Yeah, so that's, it only went downhill from there.
Did you get in trouble or did people clap?
No, when I got in trouble in school, I remember I was late. A friend of mine and I, this was back like in second grade or something. We went across the street. He lived right across the street. So we just thought we'd go over there and grab some quick lunch. And, you know, we weren't supposed to leave the grounds. We ended up started watching Speed Racer and cartoons and stuff. So I walked back and I was always had a smile on my face. So I come walking back in, big grin, and the teacher was just like, "What is so funny?" And I'm just like, "I don't know." And I, you know, I was apologetic for being late.
Right, right, right.
So anyway, I got in trouble for smiling.
So Joe, you were like a young adult when that happened.
Oh, I was in my 30s. Yeah.
Wow.
You could get arrested for that.
I know, yeah, right?
I mean, I'm still fortunate that.
That's
nobody
crazy.
Was paying attention.
Look at this. Is such a good question that Bill's like, okay, I got another one. He's raising his hand. Like,
well, we were playing sports and we had a big game and it was like a playoff game or something. And so I'm all into it. When I played sports, I was just more like a dog chasing a ball. It's like I'm a third baseman. I'm like diving, and so I'm not really sort of paying attention to, you know, like where we're at in the inning. This guy comes in to third base and he spikes high with the metal spikes. Cuts me on the hand, and when my hand popped back, I had the ball in my mitt. I just whipped the mitt back and just like hit him right in the chin. And I was so proud of myself. I was so happy. I ran off in the dugout and I'm like, "Yeah, like, take that," you know. And then I sit down and like once again, it's like I look back and like, everybody's on the field looking at me like we only have one out. Of course, it had to be playoffs, yeah. And you know,
that's funny. Hey everybody, I'm Johnny D. We'll be right back after this message.
When hiring the right speaker for your club, staff meeting, or school event, you need someone who's going to really wow the audience and give genuine insight for success. That's why you need to book Johnny D, the motivational cowboy. His testimonials speak for themselves. Kim writes that the students talked about him even after he left and said that he was one of the best motivational speakers they have ever listened to. Heather says he puts life into perspective and reminds us that you can make your world better and brighter. Find out why Johnny is the right speaker for you at motivationalcowboy.com.
Well, hey, everybody. We are back right here on the Outstanding Life podcast. And I am sitting here with Bill Melbach and Joe Downing just talking about just having some fun here. Just talking about what guys talk about when they're on the phone and just having some fun. So, guys, we were just talking about embarrassing moments. And I was thinking during break, I was thinking of one for me. And it was probably, I mean, again, right? It's going back to childhood. But I remember being at my neighbor's. And my mom yelled across the street and says, "Hey, we're going to McDonald's." I was so excited, ran across the street. I hit my house so hard, brick house, so hard, I knocked myself out. I was so excited.
Do you still get that excited for McDonald's?
No, not at all. But I was... Maybe
when the Shamrock Shake comes The McRib.
I just... You know what? For whatever reason, during break, I thought about that. I was like, oh my God, I remember that time that I ran across the street so fast, I didn't stop.
Do you remember what you ordered that day?
No. I probably knocked myself out. I was probably in the hospital. Oh, man.
Never got his happy meal.
Guys, I just want to say that I'm having so much fun. This is so much fun just hanging out with you guys and just having some fun.
I'm glad you asked us over, John.
Hey, Bill, what was your very first job and what did you learn from that very first job?
I worked for the recreation department and just learned to show up on time and how to work with people. And I got to play baseball. So, I mean, I was coaching baseball during the summer, so I got to do something I loved. And
were you in high school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Joe, do you remember your first job?
Yeah, I do. So I was 14 years old, and one of my brother's friends, my brother's 12 years older than me, and one of his friends, I think he was 26, he started a sporting goods store. It's mostly like hockey stuff. And I was only 14, but he hired me for minimum wage to work around the store. And it was pretty, I didn't need the job, but he asked me and I asked my dad. My dad said, it'd be good to, get a job. You know, I was a little younger than he probably thought I was going to work, but he always wanted me to learn, learn the value and having a job. So the one thing I learned while I was there is that if you're going to start your own business, you better be capitalized adequately.
Yes.
This guy.
Yes.
He didn't last but a year or so. I mean, he just, the problem was it was mostly hockey stuff. So summer came around, he's probably in business for 9 months and summer came around and nobody's buying hockey stuff.
No, we learned.
Now this was before
I was gonna say,
people played hockey year round.
Yeah, summer hockey and
would
fall hockey.
Go down in the summer. Nobody's playing hockey. They weren't playing roller hockey.
Right, yeah.
No, so he went out of business and I learned, from him. Thank goodness it wasn't my lesson that, I wasn't the one financing that lesson.
Actually, to piggyback off of that, one of the things I learned from working was to be an entrepreneur. So my friend and I started a landscaping business, but actually cutting grass and stuff. But then we learned how to lay sod and, and then I had a Pinto and we went and bought this like cheap trailer, put the wood sides on and everything. And then here I'm pulling this landscaping stuff around with my Pinto.
With a Pinto. Did it have wood grain panels on it?
Yeah.
So was it a Pinto wagon?
No. It wasn't a wagon, but the
wood grain panels.
Yeah, the trailer.
Okay.
We put this the wood panels on the trailer and made it ourselves. And
I'm just curious, what year was your Pinto?
Well, that would have been back in the 80s, so it would have been like a 78, 70, somewhere around.
And you don't own it anymore?
I did for a long time. By the time I sold it, the stereo was worth way more than the car.
Yeah, it's too bad you don't still own it. That thing's got to be worth $500-$600 now.
No, you're wrong, Joe. I just looked at one, and I honestly got all excited. I was playing a joke on somebody, and I said, hey, I'm going to buy you a car. It's going to be a Pinto. And I looked them up and sent pictures. $5,500.
Wow.
Well, he did a show.
All right.
People that raced. Corrected. That actually fixed up and raced.
I apologize to the Pinto aficionados.
Go ahead.
Remember the Pinto graveyard where we saw all these Pintos? It was really pretty cool.
It was neat. My first job was, my first real job was at a bakery. I was like 13 or 14 years old. I was washing, the pans and stuff like that. The life lesson I got out of this was at a young age, I learned that people are just mean. I'll never forget one of the guys, he was one of the bakers, and I think he was just a mean son of a gun.
He
literally picked on me every single day.
How old were you then?
13, 14.
Okay.
Yeah. And this guy was probably in his 20s, but I mean, he was brutal, brutal. And it just made me realize that people are sometimes just me.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't his intention to try to make you a better man by being brutal to you.
Right.
Yeah.
No, he was just a jerk.
Yeah, that's what I was gathering.
Demean, belittle.
Guys, I'm just curious. I went today and bought Mega Millions, and it's $1 billion. One of them is tomorrow, so that one's $800,000, and I think the Mega is $1 billion. So it made me think about this, and of course I would take you, but what would you do if you won the Mega Millions, if you won $1 billion? And Joe, I'll start with you. I just throw it out there. Like, so what would you do?
It's funny
because I know you wouldn't quit your job.
I actually wrote about this in my book, and I would look at this, and this is the reason I don't play, because I would look at this if I won as a problem. it becomes an allocation problem because I wouldn't want to change my life. You know, back, you know, years ago, I thought about this many times where I was like, what am I going to buy? I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy that. And I'm going to give my, you know, siblings this much money and, you know, my wife's siblings this much money. And now I'm like, no, I just have to figure out how could I use that money in the best manner possible? And that's not an easy question to answer. You know, I mean, your life would be changed immediately. Everybody's going to start approaching you, asking you for money, telling you their sob stories or their hopes and dreams and aspirations, what they could do with that money. And you'd be starting to look at every other human being more skeptically. And I'm skeptical enough. I just wouldn't need that. This would be a curse to me. It really would. I wouldn't want it. Keep it.
Wow.
I don't play.
Plot twist.
Nice.
Most people would love it.
Yeah. So in other words, like, Joe's going to give it to us.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how it works. I mean, usually when it gets approaching $1 billion, we'll do one, you know, a Mega Millions pool. Everybody puts $5 in. And I'm like, it's quite possible that I'm going to be the only person working here, you know, come Monday. But it is what it is. I just don't play. I don't want that headache.
I guarantee you one thing. I would not quit my job. Like, I would still be doing everything I'm doing today. Like, that's one thing that would not change.
Right. Yeah.
I can guarantee you that. Guarantee 100%. I actually had this conversation with my daughter the other day, and she's like, yeah, I know. She's like, better for me. She goes, because I'm quitting. She's
quitting. And you're fine. Yes.
Right. Exactly. Bill, how about you? What would you do?
Oh, she's the smart one.
She is smart.
The phrase would be, where's Bill?
Really? You would just disappear?
No, I mean, I obviously...
He'd be phoning in on these podcasts.
Yes, exactly. Do the little Zoom from, you know, locations unknown. I don't need much to live on, so I would actually just stabilize that whole situation, and then, you know, I'd just plan and figure out how to give it away.
Bill, if the three of us were stranded on an island, okay, what two items...
Well, we know which one of us is going to be naked.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't say naked and afraid. Oh. But I'm just curious. This is a great exercise, something that I use, and I thought it would be fun. But if you were on an island, what two items would you want to have with you? I actually gave this some thought.
I gave this a lot of thought, and I only need one.
Really?
Yeah. Satellite telephone.
Hoping it would work.
Did I break the rules?
No.
It's a satellite phone.
I'm just saying.
Is this deserted island out of our solar system?
But here's the thing. Battery life.
What? Need to get one call.
I'm sorry. I'd be Gilligan on the island. I'd be running around with my coconut cup. Hey, look at this, guys. Did you know you could drink out of these?
So that's what you would want is a coconut.
No, I'm just saying the situation would turn me into Gilligan.
So you guys are being funny. I actually gave this some thought.
No, I did too. I did too, because I figured a satellite phone was probably breaking the rules again.
But Joe, that's you. That's who you are. What two things?
So if it was just like two things that didn't have batteries in it, it would be an axe and a knife, a sharp knife. And I figure between an axe and a sharp knife, you could build shelter, you know, cut small trees down, build yourself a shelter, you know, even make a primitive fishing pole and hook. Skin fish.
We were kind of
fillets.
We were kind of the same on this one.
Okay.
I was going to say a belt and a big belt buckle, because you could use the belt buckle to kill things.
Okay.
You know, you could hit them.
Yeah.
Use the belt buckle to chop down things. If it's, you know, you can sharpen one side with a rock. You could use it to SOS people and airplanes going by. You could use it for a lot. You can use it for digging. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things you can do with a belt and belt buckle.
I would not have thought of a belt buckle.
We would have the coolest stick weapon collection on any island. I know this.
Bill, how about you?
I love the knife. He's got the right idea. I was thinking more like Swiss Army knife or whatever, instead of the axe. But, I've seen Castaway, so we need a volleyball, right?
Something to talk to. What superpower would you guys want? If I said, hey guys, I can give you a superpower, what would it be? I actually had to give this one some thought.
Yeah, I gave this a lot of thought too. What do you think, Bill?
I didn't give it any thought.
I'll answer while you think about it. Yeah. So I was thinking, doesn't sound like your standard superpower, but I think it would be.
Okay.
And that is the ability to only require 2 hours of sleep a night. I wouldn't want to give up sleep entirely because I love it. And there's something about, you know, cozying up in bed and pulling the covers up and it's just
stop fun. Looking at Bill like that. We're not on the island. Right. I mean, that was just a hypothetical.
I just thought, man, do you know how much you could get done in life if you had an extra 6 hours a day, 7 days a week? Man, that would be phenomenal.
All right. I actually did not break the rules again, but that one's good.
Did I
though.
Break the rules?
No, no. Okay. You didn't. That was good. But I think
I think we need these rules.
Right. Yeah. I got to be more specific next time. But I think I would go.
He needs friends that follow rules. Is what he needs. Right. Could be true.
I think I'd want to be invisible for a day.
Really?
Yeah.
And what would you do with that?
I don't know. I just think it would be so fun to be
are you going to the health club and walking in the women's locker room?
No. And I'm not going in at 6 o'clock in the morning and looking for men either.
Touche.
But I just think it would be like, because we always say, I'd like to be the fly on the wall there.
Yeah, I got you.
And it would just be kind of fun to be able to come back to the podcast and talk about being a fly on the wall.
Yeah, I get it.
So I don't know.
That would be cool. Yeah, I would actually sort of be like, I think Doctor Strange. Somehow I'd like the time element thing. I don't exactly know how his thing works, but it's like it'd be cool to go like back in time.
Bill just wants to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. I want to have the power and then, you know, like have time to figure it out.
Have you guys ever had a near-death experience? If so, what happened?
I'm sad, you know, happy to say I have not. I mean,
you know, I thought for sure you were going to say something.
There's been a number of times where, like, you know, I'm driving down a 2-lane highway on the way home from work in the dark and, you know, somebody crosses the center line, but, you know, it never got like seriously close. I almost got ran over by a freighter when I was like 10 years old or 12.
On the water?
Yeah. On my dad's boat. Yeah.
Did you break down?
No, we were coming back in the dark and it was pouring rain and just, you know, didn't.
You didn't have lights on it?
Well, they were very, it was just, it was foggy.
That would be scary.
Yeah, a little scary, but it wasn't probably as close as we thought it was. We made it sound a lot worse. We exaggerate.
I just got my license. I'll never forget this day. I dropped off. I said, Dad, don't worry. I'm going to take Grandma and Grandpa home. They lived, you know, about 5 miles from the house. And on my way back, I thought that it was okay to, again, I'm 16, never drove, like, you know, and I thought it was okay to go around the, what do you call it? The
roundabout?
No, the railroad.
Oh, crossing. The railroad barrier. The crossing.
Barrier, yeah. And I almost got
gate.
Hit.
The railroad gate.
Yeah. I almost got hit by the train. Not a cool experience at all. I didn't realize how fast those trains went.
You went around the barrier?
Yeah.
You know, if you get caught doing that at 6 points.
Yeah, I was 16.
Way. Yeah.
Well, you got a ticket for doing that, huh?
I sure did.
Well, the other time is, say, there was two. This time I actually got hit. Not by a train, but
okay.
I was stealing third base in my buddy's backyard. And my cousin threw the ball from second base. And
your buddy had a baseball field in his backyard?
No, but you know, when we were kids, played.
We
made it up, but we played with a real hard ball at this point. And my cousin threw it so hard to the catcher. And when I slid, it hit me right in the head.
Wow.
And I didn't realize what had happened. I think I was having a concussion. And maybe, Joe, you can answer this question for me. I was laying there. I could hear everybody around me, but I felt like I was falling.
Oh, wow.
And falling.
Yeah, you lost your equilibrium there, didn't you? Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know, but it was one of the scariest moments. I told somebody this story not long ago.
Yeah.
And they said, that was probably God telling you that's what hell feels like. Yeah. I was hope not. I changed it since then. You guys, if you guys could travel back in time, what period of history would you go back to?
I would like to go back to a really difficult time, you know, Middle Ages, the time of the bubonic plague. I mean, even New York City in the 1890s with, you know, horses pooping all over the place and, you know, to bacterial disease running rampant, just so I could appreciate all, you know, no air conditioning.
He's worried about his safety.
I am. But I just think
the horse poop isn't going to kill you.
Wouldn't that make you appreciate the way we live?
Oh,
today?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, for sure.
Could you imagine living without air conditioning? I can't even get in my car without air conditioning.
Oh, no, 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 no.
I mean, that would be, I couldn't even imagine living like that. And I just think it would really make me appreciate life here more. And I just think it would be fun, interesting exercise.
So, Bill, what era would you want to go back to, though?
Okay, for me, it'd be easy. I'd want to go back to the Roman era, any type of the Roman Empire. I just, for some reason, I've always
wanted. To Brutus?
Yes.
That was Roman Empire.
Middle Ages too. Like he hit on that. Not the bubonic plague part, but you know, Middle Ages too.
I'm just curious. I'm going to let you guys kind of guess what I would want to go back to.
Okay, Corral. Really? Old West.
1860, 1890.
I was going to say maybe when Richard Petty was on the NASCAR show.
He's still out there, but he's not on the track anymore. Right. But I've interviewed Richard a few times. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, I got pictures of me and Richard. Me and Richard go way back. But I would love to see what it was like for 2 days, being able to come back since we're making rules.
Yep.
And I just think it would be like, I mean, I have the cowboy spirit. I would want to know what it's like to actually be able to play poker and have the music and have the gunfights in the streets. Yeah. I mean, I would love to have that experience.
Johnny would have been the you know, the gunslinger that came into town.
Yeah.
All the ladies were swooning. He's winning poker.
Johnny,
doing the shots.
If you were back then, would you be wearing a white hat or a black hat?
Oh, black hat.
Black.
He's a black hat guy.
Yeah, I want to make sure.
Hey guys, what's the funniest misunderstanding or miscommunications you've ever experienced in your life?
So this goes back to my first job in the athletic store, and I'm 14 years old. There was another kid working there who was like 16 or 17, and he had this really bad speech impediment. I don't know if it was a lisp, you know, but it was really hard to understand him sometimes. And he told me I had to go out and get the mail at the box. That's what he said.
Okay.
Go get the mail at the box. There's a mailbox outside. I thought he said go get the mail at the bank. So there's a bank down the street about a block down. So I ran down to the bank, and it's like a Saturday, and there's a security guard in there. I'm like, I'm here to get the mail for our athletic store. And the guy's looking at me like from outer space. And I walk back, and it's like, the bank doesn't have our mail. And the owner's like, he said the box, like the box right there. Go get the mail in the box.
I didn't have to give this one any thought at all. And that is, I'll never forget when I first started traveling. I mean, I'm kind of an excited kind of guy, right?
No.
And I walked in to have breakfast. I was down south, and I'm like, oh my God, everybody down south is so much fun, and they're so nice, and at least that's what I thought. And I walked in, and someone said, good morning, and I said, hey, how are you? And the guy turns around, and he goes, well, that guy's full of piss and vinegar. And I thought it was mean, right? Yeah. I didn't know. Yeah. I'm from Michigan. And I wanted to like beat him up. I was so mad until the lady's like, no, that's a compliment. That was compliment. And I'm like, okay. So, I mean, that was one time.
Yeah, I think of the same way as you.
I was like, what do you mean?
Thought that was a compliment.
Yeah. Bill, does that ring a bell for you?
Actually, no, we can go on to the next one. I think I've probably tried to forget most of the things.
Hey guys, let me ask you this, and we're going to wrap things up here shortly. A weird food combination or craving that you absolutely love. And I'm going to start this one off because when I thought about this, I was just thinking about myself. And I love baked macaroni and cheese, not the creamy macaroni and cheese, the baked macaroni and cheese with French dressing on it.
Wow. So, how did you arrive at that?
You know, I think, Joe, I'm like one of those guys, if it's Easter or if it's, you know, any holiday, you kind of put everything on the plate.
Okay.
And I think at one time, my salad and my macaroni and cheese at one time.
They intermix.
And I was like, you know what? I like this.
Okay. Wow. Interesting.
How about you, Joe?
So I like ketchup. I try to eat healthy, but I like the flavor of ketchup. So one of my coworkers,
ketchup is bad for you?
Well, not really, but you know, it's just a lot of sugar.
Gotcha.
Lots of sugar.
So I only do this occasionally, but one of my coworkers noticed I, you know, dip my vegetables into ketchup. So that's odd, right?
That's disgusting.
She's a Canadian. So she travels over the border to work every day. And it's wild because in Canada, they have ketchup flavored everything.
Oh.
She's bought me ketchup flavored potato chips.
Yeah.
Ketchup flavored rice cakes, ketchup flavored Cheetos. The Canadians got this figured out. It's they have snack food down to a science.
Absolutely. They have poutine.
Yes.
Gravy on everything.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Bill, how about you? Do you have anything?
Yeah, mine sort of comes back to the mac and cheese thing, except mine is with chili, mixed chili in with the mac and cheese.
Oh,
it came from when I was a kid. We were
that
broke.
Actually sounds good.
We were broke, so it would be like, you know, Kraft mac and cheese, and on a good night, we'd get the delicacy of you'd have the chili in the in the mac and cheese.
All right.
So you got mac, you know, chili mac was our was what we'd
pancakes or waffles, guys. I know.
I wasn't about neither, to be honest.
Oh,
the carbs. He doesn't want the carbs. Pancakes for me.
Yeah, pancakes for me,
you
know, too.
If you throw some blueberries in, I think it's going to
help. Because all of a sudden, that's going to make it healthy?
Yeah, blueberry pancakes.
Joe's like, just put some syrup on it, it'll be fine.
Once a decade, blueberry pancakes
blueberry
are fine.
Blueberry pancakes.
Guys, this is a good one. Texting or calling?
I hate to admit it, but I'm become a texter, and I hate that.
Yes.
I hate that I've become that person, but I have. You always call, John.
Yeah,
I do.
I
appreciate that.
I do. Awesome. I do call because I'm a caller. Yeah, so yeah.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate that there are still people like you.
Now, folks, I know that my friends do not pick up for a reason. They want me to text.
No, I appreciate the call.
I can, yeah.
Hey, guys, cake or ice cream?
Ice cream cake.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got to think about these questions a little bit more next time I have you guys over.
Yeah, with the combos, he's breaking the rules. I'd go, ice cream easy.
Sunrise? Or sunset?
Sunrise.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, that's a tough one, sunset.
Yeah. I actually just went, just because we live right off the lake here, and I went up the other morning and watched the sun come up. And there's something so special about the sun coming up.
I think it was when we used to fish at sunset. And, it's pretty nice time of...
Yeah.
It's quiet.
Yeah. Well, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for joining me. Bill Melbach, Joe Downing. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you guys. And we'll see you next time right here on the Outstanding Life Podcast. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Outstanding Life Podcast. Again, I'm Johnny D, the Motivational Cowboy. Looking forward to the next time seeing you right here on the Outstanding Life Podcast. Hey, I'm Johnny D, the Motivational Cowboy. Are you planning a conference, convention, meeting, assembly, or any live event that needs a guest speaker? I would love to be a part of it. For more information, visit motivationalcowboy.com. And don't forget to check out my Outstanding Life Podcast every Sunday here on Dirt Road Radio, KYDT 103.1 FM and KBFS 1450 AM. Have an outstanding day.
Thanks for listening to the Outstanding Life Podcast. Follow Johnny D on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Motivational Cowboy. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the show, advertise, or would like to make a donation, please visit motivationalcowboy.com. And remember to have an outstanding day.